just sang actually comes from two verses.
From Revelation 19:7 and Ephesians 4:13. And I thought it was fitting, actually. So we know Ephesians 4:13 until we all arrive. We like seeing that. But actually, do you know what Ephesians 4:14 and 15 say? I'll just read it to you. This is Ephesians 4:14 and 15. That we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men, in craftiness with a view to a system of error, but holding to truth in love,
amen,
we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. So, even though we may be young, we don't want to be little children in the Lord.
Amen.
And the way that we arrive, that we all arrive, is actually holding to truth in love. So we're covering today the second part of the functions of the Bible. And Brother Ricky started last night, and actually, there's 20 Roman numerals, but there are more than 20 functions. And actually, it's more than just what's written in these outlines from last night and today. But I just wanted to, and I'll be covering kind of the second half, actually Romans numeral 15 through 20. But I kind of wanted to start with a short story that there's an older brother that many of the saints go to for fellowship, you know, and anyway, many times, you know, they just come with different situations. And they just open, they have a fellowship. And it was very interesting when I heard this, that the brother, you know, he would listen, he would consider, and then he would kind of just ask them a question. The first thing, I don't think you would get this, he said, "How's your Bible reading?" Isn't that kind of odd? I mean, you ask him a question or you tell him your situation, he just asks you back a question. "How's your Bible reading?" Well, you just consider that the Bible is a book of life. It's the Word of God. But even the Bible, our reading of the Bible, can tell us a lot. Even how much we read the Bible could be a kind of a good correlation to how we're doing in the Christian life or in the church life. Anyway, I just felt that was interesting. I was like, wow, I feel a lot of my problems can be solved by reading the Bible. And, you know, when we come to the functions, you can consider the functions are like the benefits. What do I get when I read the Bible? So these functions of the Bible are the benefits of the Bible. And even I would say, in this case, especially today on the portions that I'll cover, they're for the believers. If you will cover them, they're not just for the unbelievers. You know, they can regenerate unbelievers, enlighten the hearts, convict those who are not saved to repent and turn to the Lord. But really, we're believers. And these functions are really even more so applied to us. So the first one is on 15, Roman numeral 15, to wash the believers metabolically. If you just consider, every day, hopefully, at least more, maybe every other day, at least here at the camp, we take a shower, right? A physical shower, we're washed. In the same way, by reading the Word, we're washed metabolically. Which you can say, this is washed inwardly. You know, from, as we develop this, a lot of our thoughts, a lot of our concepts, even I would say our view towards one another, we just need to be washed. I was just considering many times, even if I don't like exercise, or even if you don't do anything too strenuous, I like to take a shower at the end of the day. And I just feel still dirty. Maybe some wouldn't agree. But there's a washing in the water of the Word. That even if you didn't defile yourself, as we're in the world, as you just go about our day, you know, before, this is in the New Testament, they didn't have fully paved roads, and a lot of the roads would be dirt roads, right? And most of the time, maybe they'd be wearing sandals, maybe they'd be barefoot, But at the end of the day, when they're gathered together at the meetings or in the homes, you know, there'd be kind of an odor. There'd be kind of a dirtiness, you know, that in a sense frustrates the fellowship, if you understand what I'm saying. So even in a sense, when we get together, whether we're going to the meetings or just going about our day, going to school, just going about our normal life, we need the washing of the water of the Word. That kind of just purifies us, that cleanses us. You may be familiar with the Lord's precious blood. Every morning, you know, as we confess our sins, we claim the cleansing of His precious blood. So we need to be cleansed. We need to confess our sins. I appreciate that was spoken last night. But also, there's a washing, not just for our sins, but just from being defiled. I feel like there's just a dirtiness that's in the world that you don't try to be dirty, but there's a washing that's needed. Anyway, the Word can do this. Before I go on, I shared this with the junior hires. I wrote this on the board, but I'll just read it out. Maybe you can write on the top of your outline, consistent daily reading of the Bible will do this. So we talked about the first 10 functions yesterday, but even with these functions and more, consistent daily reading of the Bible will do this. I even wrote an exclamation point at the top. Because as we're sharing about the functions or the benefits of reading the Word or having the Word into us, or being brought into us, you have to believe that these things will happen. And as we'll see, we don't even need to try to do some of these functions. As we're in the Word, we're automatically, spontaneously washed. Okay? And even with what I just said, consistent daily reading of the Bible. We all have different capacities and appetites, but if you have the consistent daily reading, all these functions will become your experience. And I heard from some of the young people, if you consistently don't read, that doesn't count. So you have to read something, at least a few verses. Consistent daily reading of the Bible. Now the next two, on 16 and 17, it says to be the cross terminating the believers. We want to add something to the outline. So definitely write this down. Under adding, add a hyphen, a dash, write self, comma, natural life, comma, flesh. So it should read for 16, to be the cross terminating the believers, dash, self, comma, natural life, comma, flesh. So what's the self, our natural life, and the flesh? You know all the three circles, right? I'll just draw it real quick. This is man. This is each one of us. Our body, our soul, and our spirit. But actually, our body became the transmuted self, flesh. Sorry, this is the flesh. Right? And what's our self? It's our soul, our personality, declaring independence from God. This is when sin came in. Sin came in when Satan injected himself. And really, I want to talk about, and then our natural life is really who we are by birth. Just the way that God made us. Our desires, our inclinations, this is who we are. Even that needs to be terminated. So this is for believers. This is for us. Right? You just realize, even though we were saved, we received the Lord's life, we still have ourself, our flesh, and our natural life. And that needs to be terminated. And what does that mean? I feel like, specifically, I felt like this is even in our mind. Our thinking. Our view of what we see, how we see the world, how we even especially see one another. Right? One of the benefits yesterday, there were 7 benefits of memorizing the Bible. One of them is that it permeates your thoughts. We need a new thinking. Even if you grew up in the church life, growing up coming to meetings, our thinking, we still have a fallen thinking. We still have ourself, our own thinking. And much more in today's society, consciously and unconsciously, we're just permeated by the things of the world. So we need to be washed, and even our thinking. And there needs to be a termination. You just consider, anyway, I just felt like to share a little bit of a testimony. I grew up in the church life. Actually, I grew up in the children's meeting in New York City on the East Coast. And I mostly grew up as a young person in California, Southern California. Went to college there. And then eventually, the Lord brought me back to the Boston area. I'm in Cambridge. But then I'm in the church life. I'm serving, enjoying the church life. But I don't know. I feel like you may have this experience now, that in the church life, there's just all the saints, you know, all the different brothers and sisters in your locality where you meet. And sometimes you're in arrangements where you're placed together, whether it's your choice or not your choice, but there are different arrangements. And that's sovereign of the Lord. But I feel like if we don't grow in life, if we're not washed in the Word, I feel like our relationships towards one another, we can have a different view. Right? If I'm with Peter all the time, then we just see how Peter behaves, or he sees how I behave. Then we just have a different filter, different lens. You know, I'm wearing contact lenses right now. It helps me see. But even in our interactions with one another, the things that happen, the things that we see them do and not do, it kind of gives us, it clouds our vision. It gives us kind of a bias, right? And I feel like if you go on in the church life, you can become, I don't know, disillusioned. You can become disappointed. This is a church life, but this is what I see with the different brothers and sisters. Or we have concepts of how things should be. But I feel like with the Word of God, this becomes terminated. Amen. This gives us a way to go on. I feel like even recently, I won't mention a certain period of time that where I'm in a certain arrangement, and I think with certain saints, and I just feel like even a little bit stuck. What do I do? You just have a certain view, or you have a certain thinking. You know, one thing related to our thinking, our mind. You know, it's one thing, sometimes we have a subjective view. This is how I feel about things. Or this is what I think is a situation. You know, it's one thing when you're like, well, it could be skewed. It could probably be, you know, more of a feeling, and it's kind of more, there's no basis. But it's another thing when you think a certain way, when you feel a certain way, and you're right. Like, this is a terrible situation. Maybe in the church life, or maybe in just the circumstance you're in. But even if you're right, I would say you're dead right. Meaning, you're just in yourself. You're just in how you feel. You just are not enjoying the Lord. And that can be a frustration. That can become a barrier from growing in the Lord, from enjoying the church life. You know, right now, for the most, you know, we're all in high school. So you're still pretty much, I think there's different freedoms. Some of you know how to drive. Some of you are making decisions of where you want to go for college. But for the most part, you're still in the church life, maybe basically where your parents are, right? We would agree. We go to the meetings. Maybe we follow our parents. But eventually, you get, when you go to college and beyond, you really have a freedom, which may not be not so positive. You know, you really can do whatever you want to do. And whether or not the Lord is real to you, whether or not the church is real to you, or even you enjoy being with the fellow brothers and sisters, I would say it depends on this function of the Word that terminates us. Because when we think of terminating, we think maybe it's not so positive. But actually, it terminates all the negative things within, all the thoughts that I'm thinking of my fellow brothers or sisters. And this is a salvation. Because, in a sense, you know, yesterday, I don't know if you read this verse, this is your memory verse, right? The seed is the Word of God. This is Luke 8:11, your memory verse yesterday. But a lot of other things, a lot of our other thoughts can become a seed. And in a sense, if you don't deal with it right away, if you're not washed from its defilement, it can fester, it can grow. Either offenses, or just the way that we perceive one another. Well, that brother's weird. Well, that sister does something that's kind of funny. You just realize it can be a frustration for us, and even for our enjoying of the Lord in the church life. You know, even I just realized this was kind of, I'll use the word rhema. You know, when we're reading the Bible, it's a written word, logos. But when it comes up as a reminder in our being, as we read the word, as we memorize the word permeates our mind, it's just within us. Then the Lord has a way to speak Bible to us. And I felt like in my experience, I was just reminded from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has a lot of negative things. It's pretty terrible. But even in 1 Corinthians, I'll read these verses. I was just reminded, we are members. We're members, and we all have different functions. We all have different, we're just different from one another. And this is actually a good thing. We need all the members. In Romans 12:8, it says that we are members one of another. So the verses in 1 Corinthians 12, this came to me, not these exact words, but the thought that we are just members of the body of Christ. So how I view one another, we're just considering one another with the view of the body of Christ. And even if you dishonor a member, you're dishonoring the body, which you're a part of. And I just realized, I don't want that. This is my brother. Or this is my sister. Even I feel like I have these experiences. A few years ago, I got married. And eventually, you know, when you all get married, this is someone you choose to marry. This is someone you love. But even with your spouse, anyway, this is a word really for the future. Right now, we're just with our companions, our brothers and sisters. But even then, when you're with the person that you'll marry, sometimes you just won't see eye to eye. Sometimes there'll be a frustration, even a view of how people do things. And if we're not washed from that, if you're not terminated from that, then down the road, that just leads to a lot of terrible things, even related to your family life, much less your church life and your human life. I just felt like this word, really, it's the cross, the word of the cross that terminates us, but it's really our salvation. I feel like if you get the word into you, then whatever happens in the rest of your human life, not just the church life with the meetings and our enjoyment of the Lord, even when you're in your regular daily life, going to school, how we interact with our friends, our classmates, this can be a salvation to you. I'll cover it a little bit more, even with just even our daily life. And eventually, this is not just the cross that terminates us. The next one, it's the grace that builds us up.
Amen.
You know, because we're not all the same, I don't think you can take any one brothers or sisters together. You're not. You may have similar interests, but then even as you spend time together, as you get to one another, you don't really always see eye to eye on things. You don't always agree, and you may not always have the same similar interests. And that can be the friction that can tear us down. But the word can be the grace that builds us up.
Amen.
We just realize we're just members, and we need one another.
Amen.
It's not just, okay, I'm going to enjoy the Lord, I'm going to read the Bible, and you go do your thing. Even eventually, as we're so filled with the Word, we just have a view. My brother's not enjoying the Lord as much, or he's not in the Word. I don't want to condemn him, I don't want to reprimand him, but I want to just give him life.
Amen.
I want to speak words of life to my brother. This is the grace that builds the believers up. And then we see that the word sanctifies the believers. Okay? In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
So here we're sanctified in the truth by being in the word. But this word sanctify, I don't know if you already know this, there's two definitions. You can write this down. It's to be separated and to be saturated. To be sanctified is to be separated and it's to be saturated. So you can say on one hand, we're sanctified when we're in the Word from probably a lot of the not so positive things. Anyway, I just had an experience. I think first I'll share my reading of the Word with my fellow companions. And I felt like this was probably a part of how it sanctified me. When I was a young person, one of the things I did, I didn't get a cell phone until later in high school, but we still had landlines, and we still had so with my house phone, we would just conference call one another, and me, another brother, and a fellow serving one, we would just read the Word over the phone. But even I felt like our reading of the Word, we would just kind of take turns and read it in a circle. I felt like that was a sanctifying. And that's, you know, we still should read the Word personally, but I felt like reading with your companions, reading with other brothers or sisters, I feel like that was a salvation. And so anyway, I was talking with some of the brothers here at the camp. I had a similar experience. I was asked by a fellow classmate, how come, like this is when I was in high school, how come you don't do some of the other things that some of the other our friends do? I was in the student body, associated body, and we were just talking. And before, I felt like I didn't have the words. I was still separated. I think there was just something within that just told me I couldn't do those things. And even there was just aspects I was just preserved to not even be in those environments. But I felt like it wasn't merely like I just chose not to do it. I felt like in myself I wasn't that strong to just take a stand and be like, no, I don't do those things because those things are sinful. Don't you know the Bible says this? It wasn't even like that. I just felt like I just didn't have a taste. Actually, I just told them, well, it's because I'm an athlete. I can't do those things. You know, I don't want to harm my... I think that was kind of like a cop-out answer. But I realized if I could go back, I just felt like I could... Anyway, it's not to just preach or just to kind of condemn, but I felt like there was just an element of the Word that separated me, that just didn't allow me to be in certain places and doing certain things. But eventually also with this sanctification, there is a saturation that fills us, that even if you wanted to, you couldn't do these things, right? Even eventually with these aspects of being washed, of being terminated, being sanctified, it's really coming from a deposit within. You know, sometimes, by the Lord's grace and mercy, we're just saved in that moment. Maybe through the saints, we're just pulled out, we're just plucked out, or something happens and it kind of saves us in a kind of more miraculous way. But I would say these functions of the Bible are kind of like a deposit in us that then just comes out at the right time. We don't even need to try to say, okay, what do I need to say to the situation? Or how should I act? Or how should I behave? How should I respond to my friends when these situations happen? Or it's like when all of a sudden I have kind of a not so positive thought towards my brother or my sister, a word springs up from within. So really, this is kind of something that we want to have a treasure store of the Word in our being, so that it's just available, right? In season, out of season, something comes up that becomes our salvation. And it makes the believers complete, right? This is not something that I really feel like you don't need to wait to be tested. I feel like just by living life, you're almost tested every day, especially after Summer School of Truth or when school starts. Or just what would you choose to do in the weekends? But by being the Word, even as a habit, through our daily consistent reading of the Word, this makes us complete, right? It makes us equipped. We're furnished. If we just know how to be, we just know how to just live, not just as a Christian, but as a proper person, as a proper son or daughter, as a proper student, this makes us complete in every sense. And I feel like the last thing, to be a sword slaying God's enemy, there was a mentioning of this in the last year's summer school of the truth. Really, with God's enemy, he attacks from without. There's the temptations, there's all these negative influences in the world. But really, God's enemy in this sense is the enemy within us. It's really ourself, it's really our flesh. And the word is a sword that slays it. And I feel like even in your groups, you can consider, ask one another. Or even you consider, you could ask the serving ones, what are your experiences of this? I feel like we'll have, in the forthcoming days, testimonies of these experiences, that the word can be the sword that slays the enemy. You know, the enemy, Satan, he's very subtle, he's very crafty. He doesn't just only influence you from without, what we see, you know, what's in the outside, what's in the media and all those things, but within, he's just kind of very pernicious. And without the word, then you can just let him run unchecked. And even you just consider, this is the way that we defeat the enemy, not by, in a sense, outwardly fighting, but our enjoyment of the Lord in the word becomes both our defense that sanctifies us, and it becomes the offense.
Amen.
Even sometimes the best defense is the offense, right? Maybe we just consider that I just feel like this matter of our thinking, our view, even as believers in the church life, even as young people growing up in the meetings, we need to have a new thought.
Amen.
Need to be washed.
Amen.
And this is how we can enjoy the functions of the word.
Amen.
We receive the benefits of the word.
Amen.
And we can be made complete.
Amen.
So I'll stop here and I'll pass it on to the shepherd.
Are you enjoying the functions of the word?
Amen.
So like our brother shared last night, we only have 20 listed, but there are a lot more. And Brother Mark covered actually the bottom half. We just felt to do it this way, and I'll cover the front. But maybe I'll start like this. You know, yesterday, our brother Edison gave this illustration about touring Ben and Jerry's ice cream factory. I love ice cream. If you come to my house, I have a particular brand of ice cream. It's better than Ben and Jerry's, by the way. It's Halo Farm. That's from New Jersey. So, scratch that. Don't worry about ice cream. The point is, in this ice cream factory, there are different flavors, right? And you could say that's like the different functions of the word. But I feel like, you know, what happens when we enjoy the word of God, it's very interesting. It's not like you're trying to enjoy separate flavors beside, you know, like you enjoy chocolate chip, then you move on to mint, then you go to cookie dough. But it's like you somehow eat this ice cream and the flavor just comes up as it sees fit. I don't know how to quite describe it. Actually, I thought about this. This came to me. I don't know how it came to me, but have you read Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka? Okay. Do you remember there's a candy? What is it? A gobstopper. How many of you know what that is? Okay. What happens in that story? So the gobstopper, if you eat it, the flavor is dependent. It's actually all sorts of different kinds of flavors. It could be grape, it could become strawberry. Actually, that's like the word of God. You pop that thing into your mouth, and maybe on a given day you need some sanctifying, right? Or maybe it becomes joy. Or maybe it's enlivening.
Amen.
It's all inclusive. It's all in the word. Actually, I failed. I asked the sisters to buy me some gobstoppers, and they did. Actually, they went through a lot of trouble. I was going to give it to y'all, but if you want one, you can stop by registration, and you can pick up a gobstopper. Limited quantity, so first come, first serve. But this is the word of God.
Amen.
It is all inclusive. As long as we enjoy the word, we receive the benefit in so many different ways. So the burden is that all of us, we would enjoy the word. Just enjoy. And kind of like what our brother was sharing. Actually, a lot of times, I don't know if this is your experience. Many times, you know, I'm just reading the Bible. And then it just speaks to me. And it's not that I have an issue and I'm trying to look for the answer. You know what I mean? But sometimes you're just reading it and then there's something there. It like pops up. So I'll just, as an illustration, actually, I'm also in 1 Corinthians. Huh, everybody's in 1 Corinthians. So I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. And there's a verse here. It says, and actually Brother Mark alluded to this portion, and there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another. Actually, what touched me this morning was this phrase, same care. Actually, that convicted me, because I realized, you know, I don't have the same care for everybody. I like Ben, but I don't like Alan. You know? Actually, no, that's not true. I love Alan. We're from New Jersey. Ben's from Massachusetts. No, the point is, when we interact with one another, do we have the same care? Do we treat one another the same? Or do we have different balances? Right? Actually, this spoke to me this morning. So I had to go to the Lord. Lord, thank you I'm in the body. Thank you I'm joined to all the members. And we need to love one another in the same way. The same care. Anyway, that's just an illustration. But there are other times, and this is why we're emphasizing reading the word and memorizing the word. Because when you do that, there is a deposit that gets formed into you. And so there are other times when you're going through something, right? Something maybe very difficult. And actually, and when you're praying, the Lord actually reminds you of that verse, right? This happens to me all the time. You're spending time with the Lord, and the Lord reminds you, well, what about flipping to this chapter, reading those verses? How did I think of that? Well, it's because I read it before. There is a deposit. And when you go back to it, then the Lord is able to speak to you more and more. And so I'll just, with the rest of the time, to kind of go through these functions, but there's a particular burden. And the first thing I would like to bring out is if you go back to point 11, one of the functions, the key function of the Bible is what? Let's read it together. 11.
To cooperate within the believers, to unite the soul and spirit, and to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
So this is a commonly asked question. You know, when I spend time with the Lord, how do I know it's the Lord speaking? How do you know? How do you know God? How can you know God? What if it's just my imagination? Well, that's why we're covering this matter, right? We have these two great gifts. We have what?
Spirit.
How about sister say spirit, brother say word. What do we have?
Spirit.
Word.
Spirit.
Word.
That's how we can know, right? We need both, what? The spirit within and the word without. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is what? Living.
Amen.
It's living. It's not dead. It's so living that sometimes when we come to the word, it can touch you to the deepest part of your being. Have you had this experience before? That's why we sometimes encourage people, like when you're having personal time, it's good to be in a private room where you could just feel free to, what? Sometimes you're like, wow, I never saw that. Like our brother's testimony last night, right? You saw the church. Oh, I've had that experience before. You're like, oh my, this is so awesome. And yeah, and I've done that too. I'm like pacing. I'm like, I can't believe I just stumbled across this. And then there are other times you come to the word and it just touches you. And it causes tears to fall. And you realize a little bit more of the Lord's love, of who you are. Why is that? It's because the Word of God is living.
Amen.
The Word of God is operative. Your American history textbook, has that ever caused your tears to fall? What about chemistry? Wow, I'm so moved.
Physics,
yeah. No, but the Bible is living.
Amen.
It's operative.
Amen.
And listen, even more, it's what? It's able to divide the soul and its spirit. So Hebrews 4:12 gives us an illustration of bone and marrow. I don't have a science background, but my understanding is the bone and the marrow, the distinction is very fine. It's like it's intermixed, interwoven. When does the bone stop and the marrow begin? It's very hard to say. That's the same as, this is body, soul, and spirit, okay? Spirit and soul. Where does the soul end and your spirit begin? It's very hard to say. You can't just cut your body out and say, oh, there's my spirit. There's my soul. No, it's like bone and marrow. So then the question is, well, when you're before the Lord, how do you know it's the Lord speaking? Or how do you know it's just your mind? You need the Word of God. Good illustration is, well, seniors, where are you going to go to school? How do you know? How do you know it's the Lord leading you that way, or you're just going there because it's your preference? You need to spend time with the Lord. In the Word. This is my experience. In making decisions, it's not just the college decision. Actually, we make decisions all the time. And this is my experience when it came to that decision and many more decisions. Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to live? What are you going to study? What are you going to do as an occupation? Are you going to go to the full-time training? All these different things, decisions that you need to make. How do you follow the Lord? For me, when I stumbled across, Mark and I were just one this morning. When I stumbled across those verses in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, it touched me. Those verses show us that we are members one of another. And so I received revelation. I am a member in the body. And so you know what happens? That means my decisions affect the body. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that? Your decisions affect the body. It's not just you. Oh, you know, I'm not going to go to the YP meeting tonight. That's just my choice. But your decision of going or not going, it affects the body. If you see that you are a member, you're connected, right? We're not disjointed. My head is not, you know, apart from my body. We're members one of another, right, Peter?
Yes, amen.
His going on is my going on. My going on is his going on. We are members of the body.
Amen.
And so I saw that. I saw we are here together.
Amen.
We're standing with one another.
Amen.
We're going on together.
Amen.
We're going to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
So we need one another.
Amen.
So my decision of going to school affects the body.
Amen.
That was the Lord speaking to me. Will the Lord speak to you in the same way? Will your decision making be for the building up of the body? Or is it just your decision? You all have to make the choice. You know, my testimony is in 1999, the Lord sovereignly, I also grew up in the church life, but I don't know what your, sometimes I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I wonder what are your concept of the brothers who are sharing messages. Maybe they were born that way. No. My journey was also rocky. It was not a straight path. I've shared this before, but you know, just to give you a certain impression, I won't get into the details, but one time I asked a serving sister, I grew up in Franklin, church in Franklin, I asked her, can you name, I was a college student, name me the top five naughtiest boys that you've ever served. So she gave me number one. I was like, oh yeah, of course. Number two, yeah, I could see that. Number three, she said me. I was like, what? Me? I'm top three? Come on, I wasn't that bad. But no, I was pretty bad, yeah. And so I gave grief to my serving ones. And so my path, anyway, my point is, my path was not straight. There were ups and downs. But the Lord sovereignly brought me to the winter training in 1999. And there, the topic was on the New Jerusalem. Actually, the second half of Revelation. And so, you know that song that we ended with? Yeah, I wish I had that song in 1999. I would have just been beside myself. But I was just so touched. You know, Jesus, Lord, I'm captured by thy beauty. You know, there's four stanzas, right? You know, in the last stanza, the second half, everything before that, it's very personal. Jesus, Lord, I'm captured by your beauty. But the last stanza, the second half, it changes. It becomes what? Not alone, O Lord, do I adore you, but with all the saints as thy dear bride. I remember singing that at that training, and my heart just melted. It's like, Lord, it's not just me. I'm not here by myself. I remember, you know, back then the campus LMS, you know, wasn't built yet, so we were in like a stadium, I think in Irvine. And I just paused, and I was just looking at all of his saints. I was just taking a panoramic view. Not alone do I adore thee, but with all the saints as thy dear God. And that just touched me so much. I'm not here just loving the Lord as an individual, but I'm with all my dear brothers and sisters. And that changed the course, I would say, of the rest of my Christian life. And so when it came to making decisions, it's not myself. I want to do it in the body. I'm here for the body. The young people, I started serving the young people because I viewed them as part of the body. They're part of the bride. I want them to be part of the bride. I want them to not make the same mistakes as I did. That they wouldn't be in the top three. I'll stay there. That's my point. My point is, what is my point? We need to know the Lord speaking. We need to know the Lord speaking for ourselves. We need to have the Lord speaking through the Word of God. It's not good enough for you to just come to meetings and be inspired. You know, all of us, we all, you know, for those we grew up around here, we all start off in the same way. Somebody brought us to the meeting. We followed. I followed my dad and my mom. But at a certain point in our life, we need to make a decision. Are we following? You remember last night? Are we following a person? Are you following your mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandpa? Or are you following the Lord? Are you here because of the Lord? Yes, we have to say that. No matter where we are here because of the Lord. And so that started just the journey. Actually, for me, because of that service, and maybe this is a side point, and I'll list out more points, but just as a sidebar, actually, when you're involved in service, it helps you to get into the Word of God. I encourage you, serve the children. Seniors, serve the young people, the middle schoolers, not just the seniors, actually all of you. You can set an example to the junior hires Of what? Of those who love the Word. Because, let's be honest, we all, you know, we go through our ups and downs. But when you're committed to a service, and this is my testimony. In college, I signed up. And it's funny. Actually, in the church life, when you sign up for the service, you can't, it's not so easy to put in your pink slip. Yeah, it's a commitment, right? But actually, it's great because it's accountability. And so I remember, and I'm not saying that when I was in college, I was just an overcomer every day. No, it's hard. It's difficult. I went to a school. There were no full-timers. I was one of four. And I had nobody in my academic class. And so it was difficult. But what kept me was the service. That accountability. Because I knew that Saturday night, I needed to face you all. And so no matter what condition I was in, Friday, Thursday, I had to turn. Because there's no way I could be in front of the young people and try to minister Christ to them if I'm dead as a doornail, right? So many times that caused me to turn to the Lord. And then of course there's always lessons, right? So it forced me in a good way, right? To get into the Word. And then through that, the Lord spoke to me, adjusted me, filled me, encouraged me, led me to all these different experiences. Sorry, I'm not doing a very good job with the outline, but I feel like I need to share a little bit more of my experience. You know, in college, and also my senior year in high school, One of the most touching chapters in the Bible for me, that spoke to me, was John 21. In John 21, you know, this is after the Lord, I mean, you consider his human living, all the ones he healed, all the miracles he did, and he died and he resurrected. I mean, come on. And then what happens? In chapter 21, Peter is fishing. He's not supposed to be fishing. He should be preaching the gospel. He should be evangelizing the whole earth. But he got scared. He got concerned of his own living. So he what? He backslid. He went to fish. Why does that speak to me? Because I'm Peter. We tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. I give my life to you. I'm just here. I'm 100% for you. And the next day I'm fishing. And so he's fishing. And you know the story, right? He all night didn't catch anything. And then the Lord revealed himself. And this is when you need, brothers and sisters. The Lord needs to reveal himself to you. Amen. And how does he reveal himself? He's just a shepherd. He's just restoring Peter, his love, his confidence, his hope, encouraging him through all those miracles that he did. He called Peter back. Actually, Peter swam back. He got so excited. He jumped into the water, swam back to shore. And it's very interesting. There's what? There's a fire there. What is fire for? It's to warm you up. It's nighttime. Peter jumped into water. He came out. It was probably cold. He's, you know. But there, the Lord was there with a fire prepared. Has the Lord shepherded you in this way before? You feel distant. You feel like you failed him again. And the Lord just, maybe even right now, this morning, that's where you are. But the Lord is calling you. Come back to shore. This is where I am. And you don't need to do anything. Just come to me. I have a fire here. I'm just here to what? He gives him fish. Where did that fish come from? I don't know. But the Lord was showing Peter, you don't need to try so hard. I have everything you need. And he fed him. How many of you have been shepherded by just saints feeding you? Oh yeah, I have. All the time. That's the story of my college life. And actually, even after college, before I got married, I could live off of leftovers from the saints. Yeah, yeah. And then I got married, and it got better. But the saints, they love you with the love of God, right? They invite you to their home. Here, just, Peter, what do you like to eat? Okay. Or they take you out. All you can eat sushi? All right. All you can eat Korean barbecue? All right. That's the church life we're in. It's what? It's the shepherding that restores us. Okay, I'll move a little faster. And then what happens? Actually, the Lord asks Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Why? Because Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And this was just to remind him. Actually, it's to restore Peter's love to the Lord. And eventually, actually, the Lord's commandment to Peter is to what? It's to shepherd and to feed the lambs and the sheep. That's what spoke to me. The Lord called me to serve the young people. But I'm just like Peter. Actually, we're all Peters. We're all Peters. In the sense what? We deny the Lord. You know who follows the Lord? People who deny him. People who backslid. People who need some restoration. It's not the strong and, you know, what's the Marine motto? Anyway. Strong and brave? Yeah. It's us. You know? The ones that need a lot of tender love and care. And the Lord comes as a shepherd to restore us. And then he tells us, go feed my lambs. Go shepherd my sheep. And then later in life, actually, I mean, this chapter is just so rich. Have you ever compared yourself or your situation to another? And then you think, that's not fair. How come? Actually, when it came to the college decision, I know I just said that the Lord led me to go to where I went, but, you know, it was very small, what I thought, not much going on. And you look at other campuses, you're like, man, there's so much, you know, everybody's going there. Lord, how come you didn't let me go there? Actually, when you live in New Jersey, you just want to get out. It's like, I'm sorry. I love New Jersey, but that's, you know, I mean, I think, right, New Jersey people?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're the armpit of America. That's what they call us. When saints visit, they go from Philadelphia and they go to New York City. And they're like, oh, New Jersey, that's like the turnpike, right? I'm like, no, but now I tell people, you need to come. There are churches in New Jersey. You're saints. Okay, that's not my point. But have you ever not compared yourself? And so these next few verses, every time when I'm in that realm, that concept, this is Peter. Peter said, turning around, this is verse 20. He saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, also reclined on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one betraying you? And Peter, verse 21, therefore seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? So he's comparing himself to John. And this is what touches me every time. Verse 22. I hope you could pray over these verses in your own spare time. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? What is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Young people, you need to follow the Lord. Not mommy, not daddy. You follow me. This is the Bible. this is the Lord speaking, at least to me. I hope He speaks to you in the same way. So that we no longer, we're not following a person. We're following the Lord. And actually, this verse has saved me so many times from comparing my situation to other situations. From comparing me to others and saying, oh Lord, it's not fair. Lord, how come? What is that to you? Actually, we all have a personal course with the Lord. There's two slides, right? This Christian life, on the one hand, it's corporate. We're all running together. We're encouraging one another. But we all have a course, an individual course. And you need to be faithful to that course. Okay, I am out of time. But, you know, these points, the Word, it's able to discern every intention and thought of our heart. The Word does what? It gives us hope. Right? When you feel so hopeless and you've gone fishing for weeks, months even, the Word can restore you back to the Lord. It can give you endurance. Lord, I feel so weary. You read the Word, it gives you the strength to go on for another day. It gives us encouragement. Have you ever felt discouraged? You come to the Word and it gives you encouragement. And what? And finally, I'll finish with this. It becomes the joy and rejoicing of the believers' hearts. That means what? It makes us happy.
Amen.
Young people, are you happy?
Amen.
We find other things to make us happy. I'll just end with this note. this past, you know, these 2 years, I'm not that much on social media, but one time I caught myself. I was on it and I was, you know, because sometimes you're on it just because you need a little break. And so I'm scrolling, I'm saying, oh, this person is in the Caribbean in the sun enjoying. This one is traveling to Europe. This family, everybody's happy, everybody's smiling. You know, everybody just posts like the happy moments in their life, like, you know, the better parts. But that's not really life. And so when I'm scrolling there, and my kids, I'm trying to, you know, get them to brush their teeth, and they're like, ah, I'm melting down, and, you know, they're hungry, and, you know, my house is in disarray, and I'm like... And after that, I was like, this is not making me happy. Right? But when you come to the Word, doesn't it make you happy?
Amen.
What makes you happy? Oh, I'll just finish with this short testimony because it just happened recently. You know, when you come here, we do a lot of arrangements, right? Cabin assignments and things like that. And so it takes a lot of hours. And we really need accurate information. So, but unfortunately, some of you, when you're registered, you're like registered in the wrong grade. Or worse yet, and we've seen this in previous years, like you guys are registered as males and you are female, and you come here and you've been assigned to a brother's cabin. We're like, oh my goodness. And you know, every bed is taken, right? And so when I'm doing this, sometimes I get frustrated because we repeat over and over again. It's like, we need the correct grade. Joseph is not 10th grade. He's going to 12th grade. Anyways, so this past week that happened. And at a certain time, I just realized, okay, I need to take a break because I was getting discouraged. So, well, if I'm going to be sharing about the Bible, I better be reading the Bible, right? But no, the Lord just led me to just read just a chapter. And then just in reading, it just restored my joy. And it also restored my joy and my faith in the saints. But it just made me happy. Despite of my outward situation, I was just happy in the Lord again. So, hallelujah for the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to come to it in such a way. Okay, can I just read you these points and then I'll sit down. You know, we need to enjoy the word. But you know, there are actually some important aspects, things that are, you could say, are prerequisites for us to adequately enjoy the Lord. Number one, you need to use the correct organ. You can write that down. Correct organ. That means you need to what? Read with your spirit. You can't eat with your nose. You can't eat with your eyes. You need to eat with your mouth. In the same way, we eat the word with our spirit.
Amen.
So don't use your mind merely. You need to exercise your spirit. Number two, you need to have a right spirit. That means what? Your conscience. It needs to be right. If there's anything that is unconfessed, then you can't touch the word. The Lord won't speak to you, right? It says that if there is iniquity in our heart, the Lord does not hear. So we need to have a right spirit. Number three, we need to have a turned heart, right? You know, our heart is actually critical in our coming to the word. Because the spirit is the receiving organ, but the heart is what? It's the loving organ. You need it to enjoy, right? Like if you had a favorite dish and your parents or whoever prepared it for you that evening, but Peter just found out that, oh man, he got a C on his math exam, his heart is not going to be warm, right? He won't enjoy something that he really likes. So your heart, turn heart, so that the veils could be taken away. Number four, it takes practice. Okay? How many of you could play the piano? Okay. How many of you could ride a bike? How many of you play sports or you are in some sort of extracurricular activity? Right? And you're good at it. Was that overnight? Oh, tomorrow I don't know how to ride a bike. I'm going to hop on and I'm going to ride a... No! To enjoy the Lord, to spend time with Him, you need to practice. And every time you practice, you become better at it. Believe me. Years of practice. It doesn't have to take a year. But the point is, you need to practice. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And number five, and this is what I will end with, and this is what I am most burdened, is you need to seek help. If you're here, you're sitting in this room, and especially if you've heard these things all your life, and when you come to the Word and you're still having trouble, why not just open yourself for fellowship to the older brothers and sisters? You know, we all love you. We all love you so much. If we didn't love you, we would not be here. Like, we love you. We want to see you to go on, to know the Word in such a way. It's like, okay, in college, there's this thing called office hours, right? And actually, you should use office hours. Okay, seniors, right? When I go to college, I should go to office hours. If you don't understand a concept, go to office hours. Why? Because it saves you time. You don't need to sit there and try to like, I just want to figure this out on my own. But you have a perfect, he's being paid, you're paying him to explain it to you. So why not just seek help? Go to a brother. Brother, to be honest, when I come to the Word, it's dead. I try to spend time with the Lord and I'm not getting anything. Seek the help. Seek the fellowship. Okay? Sorry, I went a little over. How about we just, you could pray with the one sitting next to you a few minutes. And Mark, should we set up the mic? Look, we still have 10 minutes. So, brothers, if we could have the mics, if we could set it up. But let's pray first.